listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
This organization went up there, knocked on doors, they rallied people. Now you go up there, every house just about has a sign on their front lawn that says no new power plant. Like the fact that they've also sacrificed their time to go out to.
Hello, and welcome to Holistic Wholeness, typically hosted by Angela Jean Rose Hart, who could not be here today, so you are stuck with me, Evie Dawson. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to have my special guest, Michelle Trotman, joining me. And in the meantime, we're going to have a few ads to start us off with. I'll be right back.
Hi, Frank Offer here for the Anti-Shoe. Anti-Shoe is a great way to solve any foot problem you have or could possibly get. Anti-Shoe will eliminate athlete's foot, ingrown toenails, bad foot odor, nail fungus. It even helps eliminate joint pain, ankle pain, back pain, and knee pain. This miracle cure is 100% natural and is as old as mankind. Are you sick of hurting your feet squeezing into uncomfortable, costly shoes? How about the awkward balancing act that is just dangerous and could ruin your day? Let's face it, you have better ways to spend your money and the frustration and be healthy while doing it. Anti-Shoe is not $100. It's not $50. It's not $20 either. It does not even cost you $1. Anti-Shoe is yours. Free. And even better, there's no number to call, no payments to make, and no shipping and handling charges. Here's how Anti-Shoe works. First, just remove whatever's covering your foot. It's that easy. Act now and double the offer. Take off the other one. People everywhere are using Anti-Shoe, including Hollywood's elite. Here's what an Anti-Shoe user has to say.
I love using Anti-Shoe everywhere I go. No more back pain, very comfortable, no more shoes.
There are no laws, no health department rules, and no safety issues against the Anti-Shoe. Anti-Shoe is perfectly legal, so don't be fooled. Using Anti-Shoe increases your awareness and helps you avoid dangerous hazards and costly medical bills, just because you know where you're stepping. With Anti-Shoe, you'd be aware of where you were walking. And look at this mess. Shoes are dirtier than your feet. You never wash your shoes. You wash your feet hopefully every day. Instant satisfaction guaranteed. So enjoy the healthy, natural benefits today. Start using Anti-Shoe now for free.
Journey into Freedom is a show about just that. Come join me as we discuss alternative medicine, energy work, homeschooling, homesteading, barefooting, grounding, and so much more. This is a program where I want people to be heard and to share thoughts and ideas and opinions on everyday freedoms. Learning to free yourself from all things no longer serving to your purpose is the first step to living free. So let's discuss what makes us free and how we can attain those freedoms every day by the way we choose to live. Journey into Freedom. With me, your host, Red Gypsy. Hope to see you then. Namaste.
Imagine standing barefoot on cushy grass while you use a professional-grade knife to deftly chop fresh vegetables on your organic bamboo cutting board. The team at MyZestiness.com wants to help your family enjoy home cooking like this more often. They do this by offering fun and functional tools that make your time in the kitchen more efficient and enjoyable. MyZestiness.com offers the finest and most interesting kitchen goods and accessories, all backed by their world-class customer service team. Check out their ever-expanding inventory today. Visit MyZestiness.com. That's zesty like spicy, nest like home. MyZestiness.com.
Hello everyone, I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty's Gardens.com. Now this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods, and with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere, year-round, without soil. So, Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to Holistic Fullness, typically hosted by Angela Jean Rose Hart, who was unable to be with us today, and she asked me, the amazing Evie Dawson, to host in her place. Holistic Fullness, it's the idea that we preserve ourselves as perfect. It's the idea that we have an intent to be one with the elements and live at peace. It's the idea that we don't mutilate our babies upon entry or inject them with poison. It's the idea that we don't give blind faith to the government agency. It's the idea that we, as mothers, are the ones who bring our babies onto this earth and we are carriers of the DNA. It's the idea that we are the caretakers and mothers of sacred places, that we are water protectors and earth guardians. We are mothers, daughters, sisters, aunts, and grandmothers. We are awakening, remembering, reclaiming, reconnecting, and restoring the mother lineage. We are pregnant with an old way, bringing this into a new day. We, like the bees, create, maintain, and preserve beauty. Follow us on www.holisticwholeness.com, where you can find Angela Jean Rose Hart on Facebook. Now, remember, if you want to participate today, you are going to call 319-527-6208 and press 1 to get into the host queue so I can put you on live. I am also in the freedomizer.com/listen live, but monitoring the chat room here, powered by Quick Chat. So if you want to come on in, log on, either as a guest or as a name that you pick, come chat with us during the show. We have a fun show lined up for you today. I have a guest who's calling in a minute. Her name is Michelle Trotman, and she is a wonderful wellness advocate. In fact, several years ago, I had ankle surgery. They had to do an entire rebuild of my right ankle, from many different types of sprains and strains, and the doctor rebuilt the whole thing, even taking a bit of my calf muscle from behind and putting it over the repair to keep it, you know, sturdier and everything. Well, it got infected. It got infected really bad. I had gross dying tissue. I had oozy grossness, and I had gone through several rounds of antibiotics that were not touching this infection. I had a holistic doctor woman come by and drop off some salve for me to help it along, including, you know, things like raw honey or comfrey or what was the other one? Plantain, I think it was. And she'd mix stuff into a salve, and I was putting that on, and all of a sudden I started getting bumps, and I went back to the doctor, and they confirmed that it was a staph infection. And I actually had to beg them to test it for staph while I was calling around to other people. Okay, what is the natural way to heal staph? Because my body had just been stripped from the antibiotics. So I ended up, not having very good gut health at the time. I wanted to use something that was natural to help heal that staph infection help my body's immunity bounce back, you know, rebalance my gut and all of these things. And I was unsure how to proceed. And that's when I was introduced to oils. And tea tree oil ended up being the thing I used. And 3 days later, I finally, after several weeks here of oozing gross skin, I finally had a scab forming after just a couple of days of using tea tree oil. And that opened me up to the whole world of oils and things like that. With a multi-level marketing thing like doTERRA or Young Living, you have an upline. My upline's upline was Michelle Trotman. And she's been a wellness advocate for years and years and years. And I invited her to come in here last minute because today's show was supposed to be about chemtrails. There was going to be an expert on, and then there was a schedule change. And instead of me interviewing somebody about the dangers of chemtrails, a really nice expert person, he rescheduled. And I went, oh no, I have to pull together a whole show for Angela like in a few days, and I don't even know what I'm going to talk about. And thankfully, Michelle was able to pull through and get some time off of her her busy schedule to be able to come talk to us. And as soon as she can call in and press one, I will have her on the air with me. But in the meantime, we will just talk about my journey. What is that? That is her. Here we are. Michelle, hi.
Hey, I wasn't sure if you knew I was there. I hadn't pressed one yet because I was enjoying hearing your story, how quickly we forget how we connected with people. And
yeah.
How, you know, yeah. Oh, my gosh, it's so awesome.
Yeah, but after that tea tree oil, I was, like, all about finding new natural ways of healing. And I felt like you and I connected more than the person we have in common connected. And, you know, you are just such an expert. I want you to go ahead and tell the holistic wholeness audience all about you. Who are you? What do you do? What's your, like, title?
Wow.
Where do you fit in the world?
Oh, my gosh. Well, my title is your average American human being who just really has a passion to, through all the lies that we're, sorry, I'm going to get real here. So I'm pretty sure your audience is used to people being super real. I listened to a few of the other other talks that were said. So you just hold me back if I'm get a little too strong.
Oh no, go for it.
There
is nothing actually there's nothing actually too crazy that you can talk about that like we probably haven't heard before or at least thought. So
yeah,
I mean, the first time when Angela debuted this show, they were talking about soul healing, and I'm sitting back kind of biting my lips thinking this is insane, and then really listening because I was like, okay, well, it might just sound insane at first. Maybe there's something to it.
Right.
So I listened with my whole heart and tried to learn a whole bunch of things, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things were actually resonating with me, so I find that even if you go off on some sort of weird tangent, I'm going to still listen. I'm going to try to hear and learn something new. You never know.
Yeah, so... but thank you so much for asking me. And, you know, you talk about the soul, and I'll put right out there, I am a Christian. I believe in the Word of God from the beginning to the end. I've learned through life experiences that, you know, that God is my source for everything, for my strength, for everything. And so a lot of my journey is, you know, I believe that the body is a whole. So there's mind, your spirit, your soul, you know, your body, your everything is connected, right? And we've been pretty much programmed to believe modern medicine and to basically segregate body parts. Because if you look at the medical system and there's, you know, the doctor of this and the doctor of that and doctor of that, and if you've ever had any medical situation or experience in the hospital, you know that you get a different doctor come in. And if you have a horror stories or a couple horror stories like myself, as far as medical goes, they don't really talk to each other much and confer and say, well, hey, what about this? Do you think this has anything to do with her, you know, whatever going on? So I'm going to back up a little bit, and I think it's really important for me to share anything about holistic health or wellness or anything that people understand who I am and a little bit about my story and where I come from. So start back in the day. Okay, so I was born in the 60s, right? And my mom married, and I'm only sharing some of this because I want you to see where the emotional part comes in. And like you were referring to, I didn't catch that show about the soul, but man, people don't realize the dramatic effect that the emotional part of our being plays on our physical, right? And so my mom has shared with me that during her pregnancy with me was the most depressing time in her life. My natural father was leaving us and doing things he shouldn't have been doing and hurting my mother. And then out of strictly need, she married this guy who didn't really have very social skills, let alone fatherly skills. And life was a bit tumultuous. Is that how you say that word? At my house growing
that's right.
up. Yeah, and so at the age of 10, I had been going through some tummy issues, just having tummy issues, and I had come back from camp, from, you know, little kid camp, whatever it was, summer camp, and I had some, like, red blotchy on my face, and so my mom took me to the pediatrician, and he says, well, you know, we've done some checking, there's nothing wrong with her stomach, but you might want to take her upstairs to the dermatologist to get her face looked at. So long story short, that dermatologist was convinced that I had what was called lupus. So he connected me with U of M, went to U of M. I was going there. They automatically, you know, did some blood work, and I was automatically a part of their guinea pig program where they just put you on whatever's being tested currently in the medications and things like that, and put me on prednisone, which is a very lots of side effects steroid. I was on 60 milligrams to start. So anybody who knows anything about steroids, they know that 60 milligrams is pretty heavy dose. And it just progressed for the next 5 years to, oh, how about trying this new drug? And thank God for my mom being a questioner. And when she first got the script for the prednisone, she went to the pharmacist and said, hey, can you just tell me what the side effects are? And they said, well, do you have about an hour? And she says, oh, I just, you know what, just give me an idea. I don't need to go in depth with them. And he says, oh, that's just basically to list them off for you. So that was kind of like in her mind, like, oh, geez, what are we doing? So just a series of events happened for the next 5 years with my health, and they wanted me to have this test and try this new medication. And thankfully, my mom questioned them and found out, well, is it necessary? And if not, then no, we're not going to do it. And she started looking into holistic things, supplemental. We did some iridology, if for those who are familiar with that. It's a study of the eye where you can go in the eye and you can see all the different organs in the body, and a studied iridologist will be able to tell if there's something going on, let's say, in your kidney or whatever. And it's really a cool concept.
I've never heard of that before. I'm sorry to interrupt.
You've never heard of that?
I've never heard of that before.
No, interrupt
that's
away. It's very fascinating. Just check it out. And now this is back in the 70s. So, you know, a lot of these holistic modalities have been around for a long time. And so when you follow the money trail, you can see why they're not, you know, in, you know, more use by your public medical practitioners, and your holistic doctors use them more because they can alert to more, I believe, more methods of permanent healing as opposed to keep you sick, keep you medicated, keep you drugged so that you're in the system so that the, you know, the money trail can continue to
get bigger and bigger and bigger. But I'm going to back up just a little bit, because as I've learned, now I'm in my 50s now, I have children who are grown, but you know, when you're 10 to 15 years old, what happens during that time in your life as a female, as a male? You're going through hormonal changes. You're going through psychological changes.
Puberty.
And on top of that, you have... So you have
I have a 10-year-old son, and it's like, he's changing in different ways, and I'm like, I'm losing my baby. He's becoming an adult, and... You know, my daughter's already there, and it's like, oh, no.
Exactly.
It's very shocking as a parent to watch that happen, but it's even more shocking,
right.
I think, as a kid to not know what to expect or to, like, have to go through those changes even if you do know what to expect. It's kind of traumatic.
Right. Well, and you know, being that I'm in my 50s, my mom's going to be 80 this year. Sorry, Mom. She doesn't mind. She looks amazing. you know, her parents grew up in the early 1900s, you know, and, well, no, her mother was born 1911 or something like that. She's passed on. But, you know, there's not a whole lot of conversation going on with children as to what to expect, what's going on back then, let alone, you know, did I get a lot of that too. So kudos to parents who are out there who are educating their children the way that they need to know about their body and how it works. So,
absolutely.
You know, when you're going through all that stuff normally in your life and you introduce some kind of a drug that has horrible side effects in all kinds of areas, it can really make things crazy in the body. So I was suffering some of the side effects that you see normally with people that are on heavy steroids, and that's the balloon face where they're really blown up, and I had the redness going on in my skin. They wanted to introduce a new medication that they said they could treat the side effects with. Well, the side effects, and I would love for somebody to call in and let me know how we treat these things. But one of them's blindness. The other one was sterility, but they can treat those side effects. And I thought, well, maybe a seeing eye dog and adoption, if that's their method of treatment. You know what I'm saying? I hate to be so cynical, but really, you know, you think about it and you go, what the heck for some red skin? Am I, you know, my red skin to be red? Anyway, so all these things really kind of set a foundation for me, or not a foundation, well, a foundation, but also a, what's the word I'm looking for, Miss Wordsmith, a, you know, catapulting me into the wellness realm, right?
Catalyst might be the word.
Catalyst.
The catalyst.
See, I knew you'd have it. The catalyst. That's exactly it. Yeah, so that was the beginning of the medical thing and where the catalyst came. And so fast forward to my young teen years, and I did not start my menstrual cycle till I was 17 years old. I was one of those kids that was like, am I ever going to be normal? Is it ever going to start? And it did, but I was a senior in high school.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like doing flips and excited. But, you know, went through all my adolescence being teased terribly because I looked terrible, you know, emotional and mental stress going on, not only with that at school, but at home as well. And left the house at 18, had enough, I was done, left. And I started singing in clubs because I sang professionally. I've been a singer for all my life. And, you know, got into stuff in the world that wasn't good for my body. And one of the things I started doing was taking the pill, the hormone, you know, what do you call it? The pill. The pill.
The pill.
And, So at 21 years old, I was dressed up, ready to go downstairs because I sang in the hotel clubs and lounges. I got ready to go downstairs. Now, I had been off of prednisone and those kind of things when I was about 15 years old. I had gotten, they had weaned me off slowly because that's one of those drugs that, you know, you have to wean you off slowly. They can start you at 60 milligrams and shock your body, but they have to wean you off, you know, a half a milligram mm-hmm. at a time. So it took a long time. But anyway, and there's a lot of little things that happened in there as well. Like, you know, they decided at, you know, 14 and a half, 4 years into my using these steroids, when I went into U of M Mott Children's Hospital for a procedure to find out, which is a kidney biopsy, where they basically give you an epidural and then they suck out little pieces of your kidney to test them to see if my kidneys had been affected by the lupus, even though I had no other side effects from the illness. Hmm. The only sickness or any illness I had was what we thought was from the medication, because I wasn't sick before I started taking it. So anyway, they decided to, the dietitian came in and decided that I was taking the prednisone at the wrong time of day, 4 years into taking it or something crazy like that, decided to switch it out. I was down to like 6 milligrams at that point. And, you know, I can remember my older sister getting up and, sorry, it gets a little emotional sometimes. Oh. I can remember, you know, her waking up in the middle of the night to give me medicine, you know, and it just seemed like it was such a disruptor in my family that here's this child, you know, being the one that was the one that needed all this attention. You know, you see a lot of families and they, mm-hmm. they have a special needs child or somebody in the home, and the other kids rally, you know, they rally around that child. But being that child that needed all that attention can, you know, can leave you with feelings of sadness that
like
you took away something.
Like you're an inconvenience.
Exactly.
Know, yeah.
like, and they never made me feel
like
that way, but I felt like,
if you weren't there, everybody would be so much better off. That kind of horrible feeling.
Right,
I went through some of that.
Yeah.
Just based on, I mean, I struggle with ADHD. I have fought depression since I was like a small child. We're talking fourth grade and below, where I felt like, you know, why am I not normal? And to have an undiagnosed ADHD thing, like when it wasn't a thing in the 80s and 90s, I mean, it became like mid 90s, it started to become more prevalent. And by then I was out of school. But for me to kind of look back and go, why was I never normal? I, you know, everybody must hate me. And it was all just, you know, that was part of my chronic illness or disease or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
I call it my Rumpelstiltskin disorder, because up until I was in my mid-30s, I didn't know what it was that was wrong with me. I always knew there was something wrong with me because of the way my brain would work. And like, why can't I make friends? Why can't I maintain relationships? Why does my brain go in from zero to the sky is falling in less than 3 seconds? Like, am I the only one? And to finally put the name on this demon of mine made it easier for me to deal with it and come to terms with it. Don't get me wrong, there are still like tons of problems going on, but now that I recognize it's part and parcel of the ADHD diagnosis, I'm able to kind of take a step back, analyze it a little better, and deal with it in a healthier way than I used to. I'm a former adrenaline junkie. I was the one jumping horses, riding bareback, you know, saying I could ride, but I really couldn't, you know, taking risks and getting that adrenaline up there so that it was basically self-medicating. I didn't know what I was doing. I just knew that I felt better when I was on that edge of, you know, with the adrenaline rushes, I felt kind of down and normal. In a crisis, I'm fantastic. But, like, there's not a crisis. My brain will create one. So I totally understand that whole feeling of being the burdensome one, because I'm the one that everybody has to, like, breathe and, like, forgive, because I do say things without thinking. So they have to kind of, you know, put more effort into forgiveness and, you know, just kind of let me be me, and then realize that I will realize my mistakes later and obsess about them. So they don't even need to bring it up anymore.
And apologize 5 million times, whether you want to hear it or not.
Right.
Well, I have to say, though, Evie, as long as I've known you, I have never felt like you are saying that other people have had to deal with you. Does that make sense? I've never experienced that.
Yeah.
I've never experienced that with you. And I'm sure it's because I don't live with you on a daily, you know.
Right.
But, you know, there's been very
my best
few times.
And, like, super oiled up when I get to see you anyway. So.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know. We're drinking our Ninja Red, and it's like, that helps me.
Right.
So, you know, you don't get
exactly.
to see the crazy part. You see the healthier part because
right.
I'm more
right.
towards healing when I'm around you.
Right.
Just because I will,
you know,
like, oil up before I have a social event anymore. And I will, like, you know, take extra steps to control on my end. There are days, though, where I'm
yeah.
just, I look like I'm certifiably crazy.
Yeah.
But that's okay now.
Well, don't you think that you... You want people, I don't know, I'm must be the crazy one because I like people in the raw. I like people when they really bring it. Come on, let's do it. Let's deal with it. Let's see what you got, and let's see what we can do. That's what I like
right.
because there's too many people walking around fake, trying to be somebody else
right.
and not themselves. See, now I'm a firm believer that those labels, and you even said it yourself, that your demon, I totally believe
mm-hmm.
it is demonic. I believe it is demonic, and
mm-hmm.
it's something that has just attached itself to you, and there's steps and methods that can, you know, that can work to, you know, rid ourselves of those things. And so these labels that they put on us, I don't believe
mm-hmm.
are with us forever, you know? So,
yeah.
anyway, that's maybe a topic for another day, but, yeah.
So we can do that next time.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to get to the cool parts. So
yeah.
So I got sick when I actually it was in the middle of the night. I was staying at a hotel. I'll never forget. Remember that was like 30 years ago. I was in Battle Creek, Michigan. I was at Stouffer's Hotel. It smelled like, I mean, it's the Quaker Oats factory is like right next door. So like smelled like cereal all the time. I woke up in the middle of the night and I had a terrible Charlie horse in my right leg. And I was like, what in the world is that? That is the weirdest thing. What is that? And I went to get out of bed because it was so bad. I was thinking, I need to go get in a bath of hot water or something. This is like not going away. And I went to get out of bed and I fell. Right on the floor. I couldn't, like, stand up. I'm like, well, that's mm-hmm. weird. So I did get in the bath, and I soaked, and I don't remember if it went away or anything, but I just remember from that day on, it just progressively got worse. I couldn't wear – now, I was wearing suits and heels, and, you know, I was really dressing up because I sang in nicer clubs and lounges and things like that, and I got to the point where I couldn't walk in heels. I was wearing – dress pants and slippers to sing in and sitting down on stage. It was just really
mm-hmm.
getting crazy. So I was sleeping all day long and I was waking up just in enough time to maybe eat something. I had dropped about 25 pounds. I just slept all day long and get up enough time and enough time to just get ready to hit the road. And I was actually living with the guy that I sang with. We were in a duo situation, he and his wife. And, you know, they said, Michelle, you're going to have to figure out something because you're not getting any better. We don't know what's wrong with you. So talk about facing your struggles. And I had to move back home to my parents' house. And I had been out of there since I was 18. I'm 21 years old now. And it was really stressful because, you know, I don't think I realized so much how much the psychological part of what goes on affects your physical. But I used to get physically ill when I would go to my parents' home. And if my stepfather was there and, you know, it had gotten to the point where, you know, I thought it was good. And, you know, I wound up, and I don't know how many months I was at my mom's, it kind of, as I told her, I said, we're writing my book this summer because I was just approached by an editor and publisher, and I'd been telling my mom, I said, we got to write my story, you know, I said, but you got to fill in a lot of the holes, because that's the last thing, like, she remembers differently, like, you know, I wound up stroking out at my parents' house after going back to U of M. They said, oh, I had job stress, I'm like, I didn't have any stress at my job. Like, I liked my job.
Right.
I liked my career, what I did, right? Job stress, okay. So I saw a counselor. I was seeing my chiropractor on a regular, and he was like, okay, I can keep alleviating the stress off your nervous system, but you've got to find a doctor to find out what's going on with her because there's something physically going on with her. We just don't know what it is. So another doctor was just a small town doctor that my sister's kids' dad's family had gone to forever. So we wound up going to him. And the last thing I remember is he gave me, because my stomach hurt, you know, my stomach was hurting so bad, was cramping. And I don't remember if there was any other medications I was on, but I remember he gave me a shot to help me sleep because I would cry out in the night. I couldn't cover my legs up with even a sheet. You couldn't touch my legs. It was so much sensational, kind of like pain, but it was just don't even touch my legs because it was so much I can't even hardly explain it so that if you knew
too much
if you had it
nerve
before,
activity,
know, right?
Like overactive nerves.
Exactly. There you go. There you go. So he gave me a shot to help me sleep and something to help me with the nausea or with my stomach pain or whatever it was. And I went home and I remember my mom had children from her second marriage, so my brothers were significantly younger, and I remember my baby brother Steven, he gave up his room for me when I came back, and so he had been sleeping downstairs. Well, I couldn't sleep in the bed anymore, so I was down in their basement, which is a full flight of stairs, and I was sleeping in the Lazy Boy chair, and I remember getting up to use the restroom, and I remember coming back and looking at this chair going, okay, I know I need to sit there, but I don't know how to get in it. I couldn't tell my body how to get in this chair. And so I went over to my brother and I'm like, Steven, you know, you got to help me. I need help in the chair. So he came over so sweet and just grabbed my arm so gently. I said, no, you need to put me in the chair. But that's all I remember is telling him, no, you need to put me in the chair. That's the last thing I remember. And my mom said that she woke up to me like crying out. Actually, my stepdad was like, I hear Shell crying. And she came in the kitchen and I had, talk about crazy and how your brain works. I had pulled like this shelf off the wall that my other brother, Michael, had made in like wood shop or something in junior high. I had it in my hand.
Oh, no.
And and I was like crying. And my mom said that my tongue was like swollen in my mouth. And she thought, what in the world's going on? And she said, as soon as she called my name and said, are you okay? That my head, my neck, my head went up and my arms kind of contorted back. And then I just slowly slunk to the floor. And so they rushed me to the hospital, found out I had a blood clot that went to my brain. And as I look back and all the things that I'm learning now about health and about your body, that Charlie horse that I had some months before started in my right leg. It traveled all the way up. I had stomach issues, right? Clot is traveling all the way up, and it went all the way to my brain.
Oh my gosh.
The fact that I'm alive tells you something major, right? So, you know, I kind of ride on that. And, you know, there's a lot of really cool stuff that my mom shared of what happened at the hospital. But I spent 3 months in the hospital. The hospital I was at didn't have, they wound up giving me the clot buster drug, which I just learned that a couple years back when my mom was reiterating the story to somebody, she was telling a part of it. And she said when they had told her that that was the only thing that they could think of to do for me was to give me that clot buster drug. And I was like, what? Clot buster? I had that? And she said, well, they said they were, if they gave it to you, it would be 50-50 chance. It would either help you or kill you, and they had no way of knowing. So she was like, wow. So she said, she just said, okay, Lord, thank you for the 21 years. It's your decision. And so she said, you know, do what you got to do. If it's, if you don't have anything else that can help her and this is the only thing you're suggesting, then I'm going to go with your suggestion. And she said she just went into the, she said, but I can't stay here. So she went into the lobby or waiting room and she just prayed. And she said, you know, Lord, you've given me 21 good years with this girl. It's totally up to you whether she stays or goes.
Aww.
And, she, you know, wow. It was just like, you know, to have that kind of faith. And I just have to, you know, my mom's amazing. And she does.
Yes, she is.
Have amazing faith. And she, you know, just to have gone through all that stuff. And I think about my mom.
The doctor's telling me that I have like a 50-50 chance to save my child.
Right.
Like,
right.
That is.
And it's your
horrifying decision
and how do you
to
not?
Make. And like,
right?
Yeah. Like, oh my
right?
gosh. I
right?
feel so
and
bad for
about,
your mom having to make that decision. And I'm so glad you made it through, though. That's a
yeah.
huge relief.
Yeah, right? So, you know, so then I just spent months in the hospital. A lot of little stuff happened here and there. And got out of the hospital, went back to singing. And my husband and I had met each other actually when I was 18. We met at one of the mm-hmm. hotels. He worked there, and I met him. Anyway, so went back to singing and reconnected with who's not my husband, reconnected mm-hmm. with him. And we, for our first daughter, and mm-hmm. I was always told that, you know, when you have lupus, so here I'm thinking, you know, I guess I had lupus and it's been in remission all this time. I didn't know because I never went back to the doctors. They weren't calling me going, so how's your health? Should you have a check? You know, they weren't calling me.
Doctors
I think
don't
when
care
I was
if you're well. They are there to make sure, you know, if you get it. They only see you when you're sick enough to
oh,
go.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't care that you're well.
You
they actually
so
want
plain.
You to be sick because otherwise they don't have anything to do. They don't have any business.
I know.
They're not making money if we're well.
Oh, and, you know, to their defense, that's what they're taught in school, and they're so darn busy trying to mm-hmm. study all the pharmaceuticals that are out there and keep track of them and pay their, you know, they're legal.
And all the pharmaceutical companies are courting them. They're giving them money. They're giving them free samples. They're giving them incentives to prescribe said drugs. And, you know, I understand that. I mean, if somebody was handing me money, I might be like, yeah, I'll recommend your thing. Like,
well,
it's kind of human
talking
nature.
To
we're trying to make a living. And
right.
And they're trying
and
to
hearing
back
from doctors themselves.
Mine.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And hearing them talk. And hearing them say that they were taught in medical school, and these are older doctors. These are ones that actually
right.
had a couple classes on nutrition back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing them say that they're taught that the CDC's got your back, whatever they say, you know, you can believe it because they're on our team, and you know they're going to keep you supplied with all the up to date, you know, study and information. Follow the money trail.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to follow the money trail. And I tell people that all the time. Yeah, I sell people on an alternative lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I do represent Young Living as a company. And
mm-hmm.
because I really agree with how they roll and what they stand for and how they'll, you know, if they have a product that doesn't have, you know, some ingredient comes out that's questionable, they'll revamp a whole product line if they
mm-hmm.
see where new information's come along. And you know, or if somebody, there was a little discrepancy I saw in a video the other day and I was like, no way. And I looked at my jar of the product and it had what the lady said on it, but I went on Young Living's site because their products last forever. I went on
mm-hmm.
the site and saw that they had revamped and taken the mink oil out. Because even though these minks were raised humanely, some people
mm-hmm.
had issue with the fact that these minks were raised for their oil. And they said, well, you know what? We can make it just as good without harming any animals at all. You know, and for those of us
That's
who
amazing.
Still eat meat and still eat chicken,
mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody could argue with us that that animal was harmed in making that meal for you. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, there's
right.
lots of schools of thought, but the fact that they would even consider that some people were offended or had an issue with it and take it out, that tells me something about the company. But anyway, that's, you know.
Yes.
So we got pregnant for my oldest daughter, Miranda, who's going to be 23 years old this summer. And I went to a high-risk clinic because I was told back in the day that I wouldn't even be able to have kids. And I was like, first of all, I stopped and thought, why would you tell a 10-year-old they couldn't have kids? They're really not even thinking about it, I hope, at that point. and the fact that you would just put all these negatives on them, you know, oh, you can't have kids. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. How do you know all that? How do you even know to say all that stuff? You don't know. You really don't know. Anyway,
right.
So I went to one of the doctors, a rheumatologist that saw me when I was in the hospital, the time I had the blood clot, and went to see her, and she said, you know, you're doing really well. How's your lupus or whatever? And I'm like, what lupus? I don't even know, because nothing's
right.
happened now, because I'm almost 28 happen. Years old now. This is almost another 7 years have gone by, right? And so she just sent me to high-risk clinics, and I went, and they put me on blood thinner 3 times a day. And so I was injecting myself with heparin, which is supposed to be totally safe, quote-unquote, for pregnant women. So I'm injecting myself 3 times a day, have this pregnancy, and I loved being pregnant. I really enjoyed it. I didn't have a lot of morning sickness, so, you know, that was my benefit. Had this beautiful baby girl, no problems during pregnancy, and they would not give me, you know, they wanted to be in full control. You know, I just look at the things that I know now and I go, oh my gosh, I would love to have a baby nowadays just so I could do the home birth and midwife, the whole experience,
right.
Because I look at all
I've said
these,
the exact same thing. I'm like, it's a shame that I'm done.
I know, you know, and I look at all the medical, quote, control that they have taken away from the natural end of things. And it's really sad because women have not been allowed to just be women and do what we're naturally created. Our bodies are physically created to be able to do these things without the intervention of drugs and crazy birthing positions and stuff that's totally not natural. So anyway, I had my beautiful daughter and they would not give me any kind of pain meds or anything except for morphine. And anybody who's ever been on morphine, you know, it just makes you stupid. It doesn't make you, like, pain-free. So, you know, so I'm just not in my right mind. So if I'm the type of person, if somebody comes up to me and goes, okay, come on, you can do this. You got it. Let's just breathe through it. And coached me, really. You know, our husbands love them to death, but mostly they're just like, oh, my poor wife. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Let me just hold her hand or put a cold cloth on her. I mean, unless they really are schooled and knowledgeable.
Yeah.
I think
and
it's,
most men. Yeah. Yeah. And most men are.
I think it's a good idea to have
wife,
other women.
They want to take that pain away. They want to take that pain away.
Absolutely.
They want to figure out how to stop that. And they, you know,
right.
Bless their hearts. They don't like seeing us in pain, but they don't.
Right.
Their way of thinking is I have to fix this. Instead of what can
right.
I do to support you through this. You
right.
know, they want to fix
and
it.
And I think the last thing in their wisdom, the last thing they would say is, come on, honey, suck it up. You got this. Let's do it. You know?
Right.
They would
right.
be like a little afraid to say something
I think
like
they'd be
that
afraid
because
of getting
they don't
hit
know.
Most of the time.
Right. So,
but.
So, you know, I had this child and it's amazing how quickly your body just goes into, I just birthed a baby. Okay, snap out of it. You know, so. So I had her, well, then as soon as I had her, my blood pressure went up, pulse went down or whichever, whatever. So they whisked her off and they said that she aspirated meconium and they needed to put her on antibiotics right away and all this jazz. And what do I know? You know, I'm like, okay.
Right.
You know,
hey,
I still
you know
thought
better
vaccines
than I do. I'm
were normal, you know? Yeah. That all these, you know, vaccinations and all this stuff and my pure little baby were necessary from the get-go.
Right.
But So they whisked her off, and they got me under control, whatever, and took x-rays of my chest, made sure I didn't have a clot in my lung. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I was on blood thinner the whole time I was pregnant. How could I have a blood clot, you know? So I didn't see her. I had her at 2:30 in the afternoon, didn't see her till 8 o'clock at night, forced my husband to go see her. They did a radioactive test on me just to make sure I didn't have a clot in my lungs. So then I couldn't see her for another 24 hours, but they kind of snuck me through so I could peek at her at least. And, so got everything under control. We left the hospital. Of course, she had to stay for longer because they had, they were piping antibiotics into her little body. And we get home, got her home finally. 2 weeks after I'd had her, I was nursing, and I felt this strange feeling in my chest. And I told my husband, this isn't from nursing. This is like my breathing is shallow, and I'm feeling a really cramping in my chest. So I called the doctor, and they said, well, meet me in the ER. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. So he dragged his baby, go to the ER, and I had a blood clot, the third the size of my right lobe.
Oh, my goodness.
Pulmonary embolus in my lung. It was a third the size of the lobe. So I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Where does my baby, So here's my husband, newborn baby, working full-time, dragging her. He's a chef. So he's dragging her to the kitchen in the morning, prepping and cooking and doing everything he had to do. I mean, he just did what he had to do. Bless him. He just did what he had to do with his child. She was being taken care of by this person, that person, then my aunt. Meanwhile, I'm in the hospital pumping and dumping, and they're not – once you leave the hospital after you have a child, they don't – you need to come back to the hospital. Come on back in, bring your baby, and you can have all the comforts of the, post floor. No.
The
you
maternity
go to the
ward.
Floor.
No.
Yeah, you can't go back in there, which would have been perfect. No. So my, baby wasn't welcome, which I think is so absurd. But anyway, so my aunt, she came and picked up my daughter and took care of her, and I was pumping and dumping, and she was still able to feed her, and so that worked out okay. But at that point, I had a rheumatologist come in, and he was checking everything out. He went back to when I was tested and diagnosed with lupus back when I was a kid. He looked through all my medical records from when I had the blood clot to my brain. He went through my current situation, and he said, Michelle, I don't see where they ever said or where they ever came up with you had lupus. And I was like, what?
Wow.
And he said, I've been a rheumatologist, and he wasn't super young. He wasn't a new doctor.
Mm-hmm.
he said, if I had to give you any kind of diagnosis, I would have, based on what's actually happened with your body, I would diagnose you with antiphospholipid syndrome, which is a clotting issue. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. So, as I move further along in my holistic journey, having children really changes your perspective on life. So
yes, it
does. I thought, I probably need to start looking at things a little differently. Was introduced to the fact that vaccines might not be the best idea for my children. When I ran into a mom at Target, I was using some great supplemental products during part of my journey that were, I felt better using them.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into this mom, and they were a liquid product, and I saw that she had a child that, to me, in as much education as I had on the medical, she looked like she was a feeding tube child. And so I wanted to share, because what I knew about the liquid food that they feed, that your pharmaceutical grade or whatever is full of junk, And I thought, well, maybe somehow I can strike up a conversation and give this woman a card and say, hey, have you checked on or do you know about blah, blah, blah. We were chatting and she told me that her child was a total normal 2-year-old child. And she took her in for a vaccine. I think it was the MMR, I'm guessing, because I didn't know enough back then to remember exactly what she said. And she said it ate holes in her brain, and she's a complete vegetable now. And I just remember being shocked, like, wait, I need to check this out. And I'm a researcher. Somebody tells me something.
Right.
I'm like, I'm believing what they're saying because that's their story, and who am I to negate their story? But I go home, and I start looking things up. And I start seeing things. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, I'm a pretty logical thinker. Like, I already have enough negative experience from people that really didn't want to. I'm a verbal processor. So anytime I had a doctor or somebody who didn't want to verbally process this through me and answer all my questions, I have some doubt on what you know. Because if you can't answer my questions, but yet you're wanting me to do this, that, and the other thing, then I can't really, I can't trust you. I mean, not like, you know, not believe anything you say, but I need to go do some of my own research. And so share all of that to say that this is what has led me to the fact that my main passion is to really get the truth out there of the fact that we have a lot more there's a lot of things that we have at our disposal that we can be using. There's, you know, just the one main thing I say a lot of times is just follow the money trail. You don't have to believe what I'm saying, but just in everything that's introduced to you, follow the money trail. If somebody is, you know, wanting to do something that's related to your health or the well-being of you and your family and your child, and they're promoting something and they're asking, you know, and it's going to cost you anything, then follow that money trail. Look at it and see, you know, when I get into discussions now on the vaccine issue, and I hear a lot of, and I say ignorant in the kindest of ways because people are just unknowing of the truth. And so in their ignorance, they bring up a lot of things that have been disproven, that if you follow the history of it and you go back in the Wayback Machine and you see why they started doing certain things and why they started even having doctors. Now, I will say I'm not opposed to a doctor. If my foot's dangling off because I got in an accident, please sew it back on. And please make sure that all the, everything's connected properly so I can walk on it, right?
They do appreciate their skills. Like, without a doctor, I would still be running around on an ankle that doesn't work right. We're approaching 2:30 local time here. I'm going to take a quick break, run a few commercials.
Awesome.
You'll have about 4 or 5 minutes. Go ahead, fix yourself some coffee, take a tinkle, whatever you need to do. We will be right back.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Do you want to live a happy and healthy barefoot lifestyle? Join Barefoot is Legal Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to learn your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws against bare feet in public, and we are here to dispel the myths and empower you to stand up for your rights. Join full-time barefooter and victims legal advocate Nick Pierce on Freedomizer Radio or the Barefoot is Legal Radio Show Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific, and check out barefootislegal.org.
Join me, Chris Levels, the host of Politics and Prophecy on FreedomizerRadio.com, the show that seeks to educate instead of indoctrinate. Enlighten those that seek knowledge and truth while exposing lawlessness and wickedness within our society. Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the time you can join me and my guests on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
Hello and welcome back to the Holistic Wholeness Show. This is your awesome host, Evie Dawson, sitting in for Angela Jean Rosehart. I have my wonderful guest, Michelle Trotman, who was taking us on her journey of what led her to becoming a wellness advocate. And we were just talking about vaccine damage. And we have a little less than a half an hour left. So continue your story, my dear.
Wow, that went super fast. So I love the commercials. I have a question on that rug. Do you have one of those rugs? And is it really grass?
No,
like, do you have to water
yet.
It? Do you have to cut it and water it?
You know, I've
That'd
been
be
saying
so awesome.
That commercial. I really want to look into it. It's just, you know, the show that I go on with Proof Negative Show on Mondays, it ends at midnight our time here in Michigan. So, like, by the time I'm like, yeah, I should check that out. It's midnight. I'm exhausted and I forget.
Yeah. Right.
But it's definitely on my list of things to look at because I would love one.
Oh, Right? Me too. Well, we'll check it out then. And you and I love to be barefoot. And this is, I mean, it's either my slippers, my flip-flops, or barefoot. Those are my three, you know. But with this weather coming back to Michigan, whoo, yuck. Anyway, so
I couldn't believe
had
this
my daughter.
It was snowing. I was so upset.
Yeah.
I was like, this is not fair.
I know.
I mean, it's a Michigan thing, but like, we shouldn't still be having snow past the middle of April.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry. Let's go ahead. Talk about what you were talking
about. You were talking about chemtrails. And one of my good friends, her and her husband, moved up to the UP, and she's always talking about chemtrails. They're chiropractors, and she's in the Young Living community as well. And she's always talking about when she crosses the bridge and comes down here, and she gets sick right away. And so she's always talking about chemtrails. And so I thought, well, if you ever needed to interview somebody, she is a wealth of great information. So we'll have to get her on your show. Her name is Dr. Kelly Milano. But, she has a Facebook page for Dr. Mom. Her Facebook and Instagram, I think, is Dr. Mom something. But anyway, she's just a great wealth of knowledge. You know, you get the medical community, the real analytics, those people that really study, and she's definitely one of those that, you know, can share the truth in plain language for us who are not doctor types. Yeah, so I had my oldest daughter, and we got home, and I'm the kind of person like, okay, let's go. I'm not thinking about what happened yesterday. I'm like, okay, where are we going from here? What's we got to make some changes. Things got to happen. What do I need to do? So, you know, the power of prayer is super strong. They told us after we had you talk, throwing this dark cloud over you, you know, they told my husband and I that if we ever got pregnant again, we should really consider, this was my first visit back to my OB-GYN. He says, if you ever get pregnant again, you should really consider termination because, you know, you just really had a rough time of it. You know, at that point, I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm just trying to enjoy my newborn and the fact that I'm alive right now, you know. So a couple years later, 3 years later, we get pregnant again. And my husband's just like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I said, why are you sorry? You don't want to have another child? And he's like, well, but what did the doctor say? I go, oh, Dr. Schmachter, what do they know? My God, this is what I said. I said, my God is not going to bless us with another child and take the mother away. That does not equate in my head. And so, you know, where some people would say, well, that's kind of careless. Maybe you shouldn't have gotten pregnant again, blah, blah, blah. You know, everybody's faith is different. And that's where my life, you know, that I was told to create little human beings in my marriage. And so that's what I'm doing. And so that's my mega paraphrase, right? So, those are no scripture, don't quote me. But so at that point, I'd been back to church because I thought, well, gosh, you know, maybe that's something I should do as a parent. You know, we're learning all these things as parents, right? And for us personality types, we kind of just fly by the seat of our pants in some regard. And so anyway, the church I was going to at the time, I wrote them a letter and I said, you know what, I'm pregnant again. Here's a little bit of my history and this is what I'm praying for. Can you guys pray with me? You know, and I don't know, their prayer team or whatever. The pastor wound up reading it to the whole church. And at this point, the church got 1,500 members or something like that. And he read it to the whole congregation. And do you know that my second daughter was everything exactly the way I prayed for it happened? I had no drugs. I had her with no problem. They put me on blood thinner, and I was okay, whatever, with that. She was totally fine. I got to hold her right after, got to nurse her right after. All these things that I didn't even realize were those things that we just talked about. If we were to have another child again, this is exactly what we'd want to happen. So it's like God gave me that experience, although it was in the hospital, wasn't at home, with this second child. And I did vaccinate her for a little bit because I hadn't met that lady yet at Target and, you know, that smack in the face. That hadn't happened yet, but you know, as I recently, in the last couple of years, started really digging and watching the Vaxxed movie and watching all the Vaxxed videos of all these thousands and thousands and thousands of parents around the globe, well, the country, because that's where the videos were taken, right. None of them had anything to gain by telling their story.
Right.
About their child,
you know,
who died. Their
child. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
go ahead.
It's so diverse, the level of reactions that you can get. And 10 and 16 years ago, when I had babies, it was still, like, super controversial. It was, well, you know, Jenny McCarthy says the vaccines cause autism. You know, so it was like, how credible
right.
is she? And it was, you know, they called her into question as far as, well, what does she know? She's just an actor, dance, puppet, dance. So, you know, she was basically largely being discredited. There hadn't been as much research 10 years ago even. So my kids are vaccinated-ish. We stopped at around, I think, when my son was six, I think, maybe seven, because that was when they were taking my daughter and trying to give her, like, the Gardasil and the sex talks behind closed doors. And, like, we homeschool. What are you talking about?
Right.
You know, so I kind of
yeah, that's my
sort of
job.
Backed
thank
off.
You.
And then, when after the Gardasil talks, my daughter had struggled with constipation her whole life, like ever since she was about three or four. She was been potty trained before, and then all of a sudden she's holding in her poo to the point where she was hospitalized because they thought that she had held back so hard that she burst. So she was in the PICU, the PEDS ICU at St. John's Detroit, at the Children's Hospital area. And, you know, they thought that she was going to be lost. They thought that, you know, she burst and she was going to go septic and she was going to die. And it wasn't until a few years later that I read, or I had the opportunity to read, because I didn't think about reading the insert. They give you a sheet of paper that says your baby might be sore, your baby might be tired that day. They don't give you the insert where it says, you know, that one of the side effects of an MMR is chronic constipation. So they had my baby on petroleum products to get everything to move. They had given her an enema. Thank God she was not burst. It was just, you know, the fever thing was about a bladder infection. And but just that whole incident. And as soon as I read that MMR insert with the black box, you know, and all of the side effects, every page, that's when I realized that our struggles for 14 or 15 years weren't because I wasn't giving her enough fruit, weren't because she was, you know, sexually abused ever, weren't because of anything that I did in making maybe a mistake in potty training. I don't know if she was my first. I don't know how to potty train a kid. I just did what I could. I did what I thought was right. And, you know, I'm sure I didn't make as bad of a mistake, like, in any of it as they claim.
Right.
Because what ruined her forever. It was their fault.
Oh, gosh.
They're sitting there trying to make me feel guilty that it's my fault, that I'm doing something wrong, or that she's a victim of some kind, and she wasn't.
Right.
Unless
you
count, you know, the medical abuse part of the victimhood, then she was.
Right. Right.
But
exactly.
To find that out, I went, oh, my gosh, I'm never vaccinating another child ever again. And I'm going to encourage my children to, especially with the adverse reaction that she had, that she never gets her kids vaccinated, because clearly she reacted to something in there to the point that, you know, she was so constipated they thought she exploded inside. I don't want her to have to live with that and deal with all that.
Right. That's where watching those Vax videos, it wasn't until I watched them and I was watching all these stories and the fact that these parents weren't making any money telling their story. They had nothing to gain except for extended heartache because they were rehashing, like myself, you know, rehashing tragedy that was causing a little bit more grief and maybe some healing. You know, and doctors being on there that said, you know, I am so sorry because this is what I was taught and I believed. And once I did my own research, you know, these are doctors that are risking losing their whole practice because they're not following what, you know, what the powers that be are enforcing. And it wasn't until I'm watching these over and over, because like you said, every child's going to have different side effects. And I remember, you know, just piecemealing things like, oh my gosh, I always wondered why my youngest daughter, the one, the perfect pregnancy, the perfect delivery and all that stuff, she had chronic where she could not sleep at night because she was so swollen in her respiratory or sinuses and things like that. My husband would have to hold, she slept like a huge, you know, huge man. She snored, I mean, like a large adult man. And she would wake up in the morning and just drain for hours. And I thought, what is wrong? And I took her to the doctor five times and said, okay, what is wrong with this child? Now, I was giving her supplemental drink in a drink form. So she was nursing and getting the supplement. She never had an infection of any kind. So there's a plus there for, you know, feeding your kids good things, you know.
Right.
She never had an infection, so they were never alerted. And by the fifth trip to the peds, you know, department, I said, can I have a referral to an ENT? Because there's something wrong with my child. Well, after she had complete surgery at 18 months old of her adenoids and tonsils being taken out of her face, I'm watching these years later, she's now 19, going to be 20. I'm watching these videos of these parents talk about side effects. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
A little bit.
Am I cutting
Try
out
again.
Here? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. So who knows, like, why, what's that?
Okay,
am I
so
cutting
what were
out
the side
again?
Effects that she...
Oh, okay.
No, what were the side effects?
The side effects that she was having was all the swelling in her, the swelling of her adenoids and her tonsils. They were so swollen in her face that she couldn't breathe. And both my girls had had rashes inside their elbows and behind their knees. And I just thought, I didn't know what it was. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. We'll just put some cream on it or whatever. You know, I didn't know. And the doctor's like, oh, it's not.
Right.
But nobody ever said anything. And so it's really interesting, though. You get these little moments where I just feel like they're little, like, divine moments where you're able to share with people something where you didn't necessarily have to set up a talk. remember I was substitute teaching because I homeschooled most of my kids' younger years. And then, you know, we had some family changes going on and wound up putting them back in school. And I remember I was substitute teaching this class, and we opened the wall because both these classes we're going to watch these videos. And it was a junior high school, so, or a middle school. So, you know, every hour was another two classes that watched this video. And this video was totally left-wing, talking about how all these mothers were marching against these companies and or these, I don't remember exactly, but I remember it was basically brainwashing and teaching these junior high students that there was no correlation between any form of autism and vaccinations. And I was watching this going, oh my gosh, so do you know every one of those students heard my side of the story? And I was like, wow, the fact that I was sub-teaching for this school this one day when they were going to watch this video, that was pretty miraculous. So you're thinking, you know, that's 60
that
kids because it was two classes, 60 times five. Yeah, over 300 students got to hear the other side of the story and were challenged to go and check it out for themselves. And it was really cool because there were a few. Now, this was probably about 6 or 7 years ago. There were a few students that popped up and said, yeah, you know, we do this, or my mom's told us this, or my mom, because, you know, this is like seventh, eighth grader. I think it was seventh graders. And, you know, so it was just those little times when you can share, when you have an opportunity to share truth with people. I would just challenge your listeners to just share it. Just be gentle, be kind, be loving, but share the truth, because they're not going to get it from, you know, you're there at that point in time to share something with them.
And it takes that kind of thing to, you know, get you to share your own stories too, because I'd heard some people, and for a while, I run in the homeschool, unschool circuits here, so there were a lot of unvaccinated kids, and at the time I just sort of shrugged and said, okay, well, I mean, I don't care if you don't vaccinate your kids, that's your choice. If I've vaccinated mine, as long as it hasn't been recently, I'm not worried about catching something from your unvaccinated children.
Right.
You know, if I believe the vaccines work, then why would I have any fear of an unvaccinated child?
Thank you.
And it was sort of
a new type of
attitude that these parents had never really heard before, because they always get lambasted for, you know, not vaccinating their kids. Your kid's going to give mine the measles. And I'm like, but if your kid was vaccinated against the measles, what are you worried about?
I'm sorry. That's just so laughable. It's like, do you have common sense? Can we talk about it for a second? Oh, my gosh.
And now, you know, like, yes, my kids are going to have their first rounds of vaccinations. And, you know, I, at the time, I didn't know any better. And now I know better. And I would not, if I had that, you know, go back in time machine, I wouldn't have done it to begin with. And I would have fought harder for the second pregnancy thing with the whole vitamin K thing and the eye drops. And they were threatening to call CPS on me. And it was just,
oh, my gosh,
trauma after trauma after trauma.
Yeah.
I just wanted to take my baby home, you know.
Oh, right.
I wanted to
not
have as much, you know, artificial stuff in there, but I got bullied. And
right.
I think that that's
probably
the place where a lot of hospital bullying goes on is in the maternity ward.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you're
weakened.
And because they can threaten you with that emotional argument of, we'll take your baby away if you don't comply. You know, we'll call CPS and call you a bad parent. And, I mean, I appreciate their concern and their argument, and the way they're thinking about it. It's logical to them, but not so much to me, to say, if you don't do this, then we feel like you're putting your child in harm's way, when they've not even done any of the research.
Know? Absolutely. You know, and there's, you have to be strong. You have to know your rights. That's the thing, too. You have to know that, fortunately, we still have some rights as parents, you know, a few.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the things I wrote down, because I had a call earlier today and a friend of mine, and we were chatting, and she's a really good listener, and she likes to hear my analogies, things I have to say. So, you know, we were just talking about the fact of supply and demand, and I wrote it down because I said I really need to share that, because you know, the company, like I was saying, I represent Young Living. You know, if you were to hear the founder and you were hearing the kind of things that he does on a daily basis to fight against those companies like Monsanto and the pharmaceutical companies, the FDA and things like that, if you knew his heart and the things that he was doing to fight against them in a proper manner, so that, you know, we don't lose every right that we have right now because they just decided that we should or something. You know, it really changes things for me. It changes things with a company. I was with that other company I was telling you that my daughter was using those liquid products. And I really, I had somebody come to me and say, you know, you should really, I would really like to find something more all natural, organic. And I was like, oh, good idea, me too. So like I said, I always hear what people say and I go home and start researching. But at that point I was super busy and I just started praying. I said, okay, God, you know, there's just so much stuff on the market right now and I don't know exactly what it is. And, you know, I'm a big advocate for multiple streams of income. So I'm not only, you know, health and wellness, but I am also, you know, be responsible, fiscally and financially responsible and make your own money, be in charge of your own money. And women, we have a lot of things that we could do. And don't be, you know, if you have a gut instinct that you want to stay home and raise your own children, go for it, because there's tons of ways that you can create an income. I just had another conversation with somebody yesterday. She works 10 times, literally, as many hours as I do and brings home about the same as I do on a monthly basis with residual income that whether I work or not, I'm getting a check. So anyway, I really educate people to really think outside the box in those areas as well. But comes
Absolutely.
Back to the, you know, the integrity of the company and the fact that I don't claim to know everything about everything. And so I just, at that point,
right.
was like praying, like, okay, there's got to be something on the market that I can really sink my teeth in. And now my degrees are in marketing, and I have a lot of history and education and practical application of the music industry and different things like that. So I knew that the company, like I've done voiceover and that sort of thing, but I really couldn't get into that industry because I knew I'd have to promote some kind of pharmaceutical or cough medicine or something, and I did not believe in that. And I really take personal responsibility right. to, like, if I, you know, I'm on your radio show right now, and if you were asking me to promote something, I would decline. I would say, no, thank you. I can't be on your program. If it's something that
right.
I know is detrimental or that I believe is detrimental, I can't do it. And I feel responsible. I would feel
mm-hmm.
like I was encouraging somebody in a commercial to buy that cough medicine. So,
right.
you know, and that's how I found Young Living, was that I just said, okay, Lord, I know there's a tons of stuff on the market, but you know where I'm supposed to be and you know what I can really be long-term with. And you know
mm-hmm.
the person that I am and how sold out I need to be on their products and the company. And what the company does,
right.
and what
Proof
are they
and
doing
I were
for
talking
the environment?
About this sort of thing last night. Proof and I were talking about
really?
This sort of thing last night. We talked about boycotting certain companies because we didn't believe in what they were doing. For example,
Absolutely.
Nestle. And I have only a little more than
Absolutely.
3 minutes left before we have to move out of
okay.
the way for Politics and Prophecy with Chris Levels. He is actually from Flint. You should all stay tuned. He's got
awesome.
Some wonderful insight. But we were talking about Flint, obviously, with the water, and then Nestle, because
yeah.
they are taking billions of gallons out of our lakes and selling them for tons of profit. And they've only paid, what, $200 for a permit fee? They don't pay the residents for the water. And so we were talking about how we vote with our wallets is something that we like
mm-hmm.
to do. We
Absolutely.
Take responsibility for our consumerism, and we've decided to sends from, we have dogs, we have cats, and you have to check those
yep.
labels. A lot of those pet foods that are on the market come from Nestle. So not just candy,
yeah.
not just water, it's dog food, it's other things. So always check.
Yeah.
If you're going to boycott a thing and you're going to vote with your wallet and, you know, feel good about making those kinds of changes and really holding companies' feet to the fire and hold them accountable
right.
for the choices that they're making and the way that they're doing business. You always need to vote with your wallet, boycott,
yep.
promote other companies that are good, and,
right.
you know, just
right.
sort of do that. Because otherwise, I mean, I don't think I would feel right in my heart if I sat there and got a case of Nestle water, you know.
Right.
I would feel awful because I know where it came from, and I know how
right.
they got it, and I know their business practice now, and I'm not happy with it.
And sharing
you know,
that
and,
truth like you just did with your other with your friends, with your listeners, and go, oh my gosh, you know what I just heard. And also a lot of these small mom and pop companies that have, you know, like Tom's of Maine and those things that, you know, they sold out to big companies. Look to see who Palmolive. Come on, guys, really? And look at their products now.
Mm-hmm.
Their products have ingredients in them that I'm sure they're shaking their head and rolling their eyes going, oh my gosh, my company name is still on that product, and I don't promote those kind of things. So be educated in those areas
mm-hmm.
as well, for sure. We're going to have
Most
to pick up next
definitely.
Week and continue on.
We
have,
really
you know,
are.
The,
I just got the 90-second warning.
The, we got the positive
yeah.
end of the side to talk about. So thank you for having yeah. me on. That was awesome. I really loved it.
Oh, we appreciate having you here. It made the time go by so much faster. And I was sitting there worried that I would have to fill this whole hour with talking about me and myself. And it was so great to go on your journey so that I could learn something about you. And I didn't have
oh,
to
wow.
talk the entire time after talking for 3 hours on Proof's show last night.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing.
Thank you so much.
So, is there anything you want to say real quick in the last few seconds that we have? Anything, any website, anything
yeah.
you want to promote?
Oh, sure. Just be empowered, you guys, and share what you know. And don't be afraid to tell the truth because, you know what, it's how you live. Just it's all in how you present it and your approach of it, you know, and be who you are and don't second guess yourself, because you're the mom, you're the dad, you're the gatekeeper of your home, and you can decide what goes on in your home and around in your neighborhood with your dollars, like Evie Sayet said.
Exactly.
MichelleTrotman.com is my website, and it's 1L, Michelle. I'm a 1L Micheller with one
okay.
T.
And really quick, if you want to talk about getting money directly to a small business or an individual, you need to go on to Amazon, click on Evie Dawson, in there, look for Maya's World. Right now it's on sale, and I've got to go.